From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis from the Downtown Alliance. Salt Lake's biggest convention client is in town, our favorite convention client in many ways, the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show. Tens of thousands of people have descended on downtown Salt Lake City, helping to boost our economy in restaurants, retail sales, hotels, entertainment, taxi cabs, really throughout the downtown. And downtown feels alive when Outdoor Retailer comes to town. Joining me today will be Michael Mack, Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We'll be talking about Salt Lake's convention industry, the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show, and future plans for this important industry in downtown's economy. All that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, joined today by my dear friend. I always say that, but this time it really is true. Michael Mack. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. You said that last time, too. Because, yeah. And I'm starting to get the feeling that you say this pretty much to every one of your guests.
You know what? Here's the deal. I made a decision a while ago that I'm only having friends on because it's so much easier to talk to friends, and then we can have a really good conversation.
Let me just factoid for the audience.
Yeah.
Jason has so many friends. Jason has friends he hasn't even used yet.
That's true. Someday, I'll come a-knocking. So Michael has a legitimate news reason for being on the Downtown SLC show today as well. Michael is the Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake.
All services, actually.
All services, yes. Not just convention services. Yeah. All services at our Visit Salt Lake, which is also affectionately known as the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Right.
If people don't know what Visit Salt Lake is.
And sometimes even more affectionately known as the Chamber. But we know you guys do completely different work.
You're not the Chamber.
We're not the Chamber.
No.
And pardon my froggy voice today. I got up rather early and I've been yelling at people.
Well, that's what we want to talk about today. You've got a lot going on.
I've been yelling at a lot of things today because Outdoor Retailer, this is what we would call day zero.
Yeah.
Technically, officially, is day zero of Outdoor Retailer. They're back. This is the 19th summer of their visiting.
And so next year's 20 years.
20 years, yep. And they're going to stay beyond that, but 20 years is a pretty good milestone.
Yeah, that's impressive.
You know, 19 years ago, they started and there were, 5,000 attendees and 200. Or 27,000 feet of exhibits, and now it's the entire Salt Palace. I mean, every aisle that the fire marshal will allow.
Plus tents.
Plus
huge
tents. Three massive tents, growing to four massive tents in either next summer or the summer after.
Wow.
And the Salt Palace, you know, basic square footage is almost, it's over 600,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's almost 700,000 square feet.
So it's quite a growth.
So what are you using now, a million square feet of exhibit space, do you know?
It could be a million of gross, I bet.
Yeah, a million square feet.
I mean, I tend to exaggerate on some of these numbers sometimes.
Yeah, I remember one time you said that Outdoor Retailer was like $5 billion worth of economic value.
$5 billion. But I'm prepared today to tell you that it's $25 million each time they come to town.
Every time, so twice a year.
Visitor spending.
So there's money spent in our community by outdoor enthusiasts of the retail variety. But maybe we could start out just describing what is Outdoor Retailer. What do they do? This magical show that we've heard so much about.
It's basically a business-to-business showcase for mom-and-pops and REIs and Dick's Sporting Goods and all the vendors of outdoor equipment, mm-hmm. and that includes shoes and even fabrics because fabrics go into tents and backpacks and hiking shorts and everything else.
Anything you might enjoy, any product you might enjoy in the great outdoors.
Pretty much.
Could be represented.
And in years past, I've even seen a miniature camping electric guitar, but that's not really endemic
kind of
to
pushing
the
it.
Yeah, but pretty much anything you would see at REI or any sporting goods store, short of shotguns and guns and things like that.
Yeah. You don't have guns here.
No. Well, I'm packing two guns right now, but no, there's no guns.
No guns at Outdoor Retailer. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a hunting show, although I know you do hunting shows as well.
We do.
Yeah. It's more about hiking,
outdoor recreation. Yes. Yeah. Stand up paddleboarding.
ATVs. Do you have any ATVs?
No. There'll probably be one or two there just kind of to demonstrate a trailer for a kayak or something
right.
like that. But no, it's not a place to buy an ATV.
This is the more, I guess I would think of it as the more nature-loving, progressive side of the outdoor industry.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the hunting ATV side.
It's the tree-hugging yuppies that don't use motors,
right.
basically.
Right, but we love them.
Yeah, and we all use motors, too. But it's non-motorized gear.
There's no judgment here about motors.
No, yeah. I'm all for, I think motors are one of the, like in the first three amendments of the Constitution, aren't
they? You have to have a motor.
God-given right to have a motor.
You Got to have a motor.
Yeah.
Okay. So 45. Is it 45,000?
They're talking about 27,000 people, which is a little more manageable.
27,000 this year.
Right now. Yeah. Okay. On the streets of Salt Lake City.
And our city is transformed when this happens. Like I love going to downtown, and I know sometimes there's a little bit of a wait in restaurants, or you know, sometimes the things that we like to do as locals are suddenly crowded. But I'm here to tell you that's what it's like to be in a real city, that vibrancy, that energy, that excitement. It's really magical when outdoor retailers here, not just for the economic spending, but for what it does for our downtown.
Absolutely. They decorate the city. They bring fit, attractive people to town. There's parties all over the place, and they take blighted corners in your downtown quadrant.
There are no blighted corners in my downtown.
The AeroPress Square is one example.
Yeah.
And they turn it into a party zone.
Yeah.
Keen Footwear has been doing that for a few years now, and it's, I don't know if you've been by there this time, but it's even brighter and better than it's ever been.
I drove past it last night, and it was transformed.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to open up their offices there.
I know. Let's or leave what you put on the walls
it.
Of that building.
Just leave it. We'll buy it.
Until it burns down.
Yeah. It looks great. It's not going to burn down.
Oh.
It looks great. Outdoor retailer really does. They know how to dress up the city.
And they add vitality because it's not a revitalized, because it's, downtown's very vibrant, thanks to Jason Mathis and his team. But, and I don't know anybody who, I've never heard from anybody who complains about the presence of these people in town, because I think most people are thrilled by it. It's like, it puts us on the map. It puts us on the stage. It makes it attractive. Restaurants make money. I had a flight in this morning from out of town, which is usually where I fly in from.
Uh-huh.
And
thanks for clarifying.
The cab driver said, and he was very versed in our convention business, and really I was pleased to see how you know, educated and up on things he was. And he said, really, these two shows are a major part of his economic take every year as a cab driver.
Yeah. And they're just for a few days in the summer and a few days in the winter.
Right.
I know that's true for a lot of restaurants also. Restaurants have such thin margins. For many restaurants, the difference between profitability for the entire year and losing money are outdoor retailer, because they're so busy.
Even the Olive Garden.
Yeah. Every restaurant, I think, benefits.
All restaurants.
All restaurants really benefit. You mentioned cabs, and I know you wanted to talk about that. You're sort of a cab aficionado. You know a lot about the taxi cabs in our community.
I'm more of a cabophile, I think.
You
Jason.
Really are. You're a lover of cabs.
I'm a cab watcher. Cab spotter, even. I write down numbers of cabs.
Voyeuristic
when they go by,
for cabs, yeah.
The mark, the license tag, the number of the... from the shop.
You have a professional interest. It's not purely personal.
Yeah. No,
it's not just personal. You also have a professional interest.
It's way more than a hobby.
Yeah.
Cabs. Well, cabs, we've had a little bit of a hiccup this year with the trying to accommodate Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good shared economy service.
And
we've always kind of been short on cabs in the city. So to add other options is really good. But there was a brief moment this year when it was a free-for-all. It was the Wild West at the airport.
So to put it into context, if I understand correctly, the legislature passed a law that invalidated some of the regulations for cabs in an effort to help support Uber and Lyft and other shared car services, but it made it crazy at the airport where there was no metered fare and people would come into town and you didn't know what you would pay. It could be $30, it could be $50, it could be $75, which isn't really the best face for us when we're trying to attract people and pretend like we're, you know, kind of a real city that has our act together.
And I had numerous guests come into town who had traveled here before and knew how it used to be and then experienced a severe climb in the rate to get downtown, which isn't very far away.
Yeah.
And I think the city realized they could reassert their rights to have some control and some say, and they've established some fixed rates again from airport to downtown and downtown to airport.
Great.
Beyond that, it's sort of a negotiating deal, but most of our guests are either going from downtown to the airport or airport to downtown.
Right. It is something, though. I mean, this is the subject for a much larger show, but I think sometimes the legislature, in attempting to try to be helpful mostly, makes decisions that have unintended consequences. Certainly, I think that's true with liquor regulations. I think that's true when they assert their primacy in local affairs.
Like to push the city around.
Sometimes they like to push Salt Lake City around. And sometimes I think they do have the best of intentions. But in this case, it really did cause a lot of problems for a lot of travelers and other people, local people who might take cabs into or out to the airport.
And just something the Bureau does do, we sort of took proactive steps when we realized that there was this problem before it got corrected, and let all of our meeting planners know and sent them kind of a script and a card that they could give all to all of their attendees saying, basically, negotiate your fare before you get in a cab.
And this is what's a fair amount to pay.
Yeah. 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 And you know, that lasted for a couple of months, and now it's been restored.
So. Well, and that, you know, I guess that's part of the, again, this isn't the subject of our show today, but we kind of wind
we
around
digress.
A little bit. We
it's
digress.
All fascinating, though, I know, for your listeners.
I'm sure. But that's kind of what new technology does. It sort of disrupts things, and then the old regulations or the old way of doing business, or it doesn't work anymore. And so that's what a dynamic, evolving economy does. You always have to be changing and thinking about how do we do this now, because there's this new wrinkle or this thing we hadn't thought about or had to deal with. So all good.
And I will say, again, kind of related to Outdoor Retailer and also to my personal travels, personal story, coming into the airport today and then leaving the cab pool, which they can't all just queue up, but that parking lot was overfilled with not just the three main cab companies of the city, mm-hmm. which I won't name, mm-hmm. but also the new variety of what we used to call gypsy cabs, but actually are driving around in really nicer mm-hmm. and newer cars, because now pretty much anybody, even Jason, you could be a cab driver if you wanted to.
I aspire to
you
that.
Have just have to take a blood alcohol test every couple of days.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
On that note, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Michael Mack. Michael is the Vice President of Convention Services. Very busy, a little punch drunk right now with the Outdoor Retailer Show in town. We will be back after this messages to continue our conversation. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, my longtime friend, Michael Mack. I think we've been friends for more than 20 years.
More than. When Jason was still a teenager.
When I was young, very young.
Michael
was my mentor.
But it was still an appropriate friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
Very appropriate.
So we're talking today about Outdoor Retailer. Why do you think people who don't have anything to do with the convention industry should care that Outdoor Retailer's in town?
Because they come and spend so much money. I mean, any convention, it doesn't matter about Outdoor Retailer. It what it does is create jobs, and not just jobs for the service and tourism or, you know, the downtown economy of restaurants and hotels and
right.
taxis, but it also creates new jobs because businesses relocate here.
Right.
Several, and it's going to be an ongoing thing. And actually, the state's made a big, big push to try to lure these outdoor companies to relocate here because there's very favorable conditions to do so.
Yeah. A little bit of pushback I saw this week from Peter Metcalf and others in the Outdoor Industries Association saying, you know, having some concerns about, you know, the state maybe trying to take over some federal lands and what that might mean for their industry. And this isn't the first time that the Outdoor Industry Association, which is not the producer of the show, they're just an important...
The voices of the show.
Yeah, that's the people who are actually coming to the show are part of this association. It's actually produced by Emerald. Is it Emerald Events?
Emerald Expo.
But, you know, some concerns about maybe whether some of the policies at a state level match up with the ethics of the people coming to the show. And yet, I also read about Mayor Becker and the Governor Herbert, and Mayor Ben McAdams, and several other people all signing the Mountain Accord, which is heralded by the outdoor community yesterday.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, Save Our Canyons, working with ski industries, talking about how do we want to protect these mountains that are so close to Salt Lake City. How does all of that play into what you guys do? Are you thinking about those things, or are you just interested in sort of the logistics of putting the show on?
We try very hard to be apolitical, mm-hmm. and I won't really get into the – I don't know the full impact or aspect of the Mountain Accord, but I think it is significant that parties from typically disparate points of view are coming together on this.
Yeah.
You know, the governor visits the Outdoor Retailer Show.
He understands it. Like, he gets it.
And I think he's going to ride in on, you know, shoulders of glory when he visits this year, because I think that's an important step he took. But back to this local, you mentioned Peter Metcalf, I think.
And you know, we're fans of Peter Metcalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think
the industry needs to keep feet to the fire of legislators mm-hmm. and remind them that, you know, there's two sides of this equation, and grazing is one thing and a sustainable industry is another mm-hmm. and drilling is one thing and preserving beautiful public lands is the other side of that.
Yeah.
And I won't say balance, because my view would be in favor of limiting the things that could take away those beautiful lands and things like that. But I think it's really been important for the OIA, the Outdoor Industry Association, to rattle their sword just a little bit.
Just remind people, yeah, hey, we're here and we're spending money and we care about your state. We care about what you're doing in your state.
And we're a growth industry. Yeah. I mean, even through the 2008 and 2009 downturn, this show grew.
Yeah.
And people were doing more camping and outside stuff, and because it was much more affordable and much more organic and much more family oriented.
Yeah.
So I think it's been really healthy to have the show be here and have the disgruntled voices, which I'm not saying are their complainers or anything like that, but that they raised their voice and said, wait a second, we're bringing this to town. Let's all get to the table and talk about how we envision the future.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And that, I mean, I think again,
and that's why I'm running for mayor.
Stop it. I think, again, the sort of the basis for the Mountain Accord was that idea of bringing people together who don't normally agree to, you know, and this is something that Mayor Becker really started 3 years ago. I remember David Everett, his chief of staff, asked Natalie Gochner, who I worked with at the chamber at the time, to go meet him to talk about this. And I was like, what are you talking about? How are you going to get these people together? These people have no interest in working together. Mm-hmm. And they were, I think we can make this work. I think I got it figured out. And that's something that speaks hopefully to this industry, to the outdoor retailers, to the Outdoor Industry Association, that as a community, as a Salt Lake community, and even larger as a county or state, we are interested in finding that common ground. I mean, I think that's sort of the Utah way of doing business, finding that common ground and moving forward in ways that make sense for everybody and that everyone feels like they were part of the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to back up just a little bit, because you raised this question about the outdoor industry folks, you know, saying, hey, we're bringing this show and you're going to try and take over your own public lands, et cetera, or our own public lands, semantics. But there was a very misleading article in the paper yesterday about outdoors.
In the Tribune?
In the Tribune. To move away, that's completely the opposite of the truth. And that there were some very poorly researched rumors that led to that story. And, you know, we're in talks, and I'm not the person negotiating, but the future is very bright for outdoor retailer continuing in Salt Lake for both winter and summer.
It's an interesting dynamic because my sense of it, and I've been involved in some of the conversations about how do you finance the tents and, you know, what's the real value of the show. And there's an expense that the community puts into building these tents and into to providing the Salt Palace.
The state and the county and the city all contribute.
Yeah, we're all interested in this. And it's good business for the people who run the show to keep their options open and to say, well, what would it look like if we went to Las Vegas or Orlando? As horrible as that would be to be in those cities in August, what might that look like? But there's a real emotional connection to Salt Lake City, in part because the tornado that happened, and that was really devastating for the outdoor, you know, outdoor retailer who was setting up at that time. This was several years ago.
Yeah, it was in 1999.
1999, years and years ago. They decided to stay, and I think they built some emotional bonds and some emotional connections. It's partially about the mountains, why they like to come here, and the proximity of mountains to an urban center. It's also about the way that they get treated when they come here.
It's absolutely about the treatment. They will always be the big fish in the smaller, salty pond.
Yeah.
It just fits. Like today, they're up at Pine View Reservoir in Ogden Canyon. There's no better place, really, to have an on-water demo. This, as I mentioned before, day zero.
Yeah.
And this event just grows and grows, and it's a beautiful spot, and the Forest Service works with us, and the Parks Departments of the state work with us to get this whole thing to happen. And where are you going to do that in Las Vegas or in Atlanta or in Orlando?
Right.
Except possibly on a dyed blue,
the Bellagio. Could you go to the Bellagio Lake?
Well, you could on water demo some gondolas there.
Yeah,
I guess that'd be kind of cool.
Venetian.
And the Venetian.
There's not a lot of gondolas, I'm guessing, in the outdoor industry.
Not so much. It's more about stand up paddleboards these days. Gondolas are dipping a little bit, and stand up paddleboards are growing.
Yeah, I can see that. If you were forecasting, let's move a little bit beyond the outdoor retailer show. Mm-hmm. If you were forecasting what Salt Lake's convention industry looks like in 5 years or 10 years, what do you think we're going to be like?
Well, I hope we're going to be like what Nashville is today and what Austin is today. And we hit a lot of those same ranking lists that those cities get.
Most creative city.
Creative, cool, great workplace, great place for singles, great place for tech, great place to start a business.
If you're a college graduate, this is the place you should move to.
Great food scene. We're right there shoulder to shoulder with them on all those. But all of a sudden, they've both just exploded for hotel rooms and conventions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, neither one is an easy place to get to like Salt Lake.
Right.
Now, Nashville's a bigger city than Salt Lake, and probably Austin is slightly bigger, too. But the hotel growth and the convention growth is just, like, mushroomed in those places. Mm. So I'm thinking our time's going to come in 10 years. And I think, you know, we've been talking about a convention hotel, which is kind of looming on the horizon.
My sense is that an announcement is imminent. I think in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be an announcement coming from the county.
Good. I think it's going to be like a floodgate thing.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, because again, Austin and Nashville both had Omni properties. And then now you look around and they're just like popping up.
I just went crazy.
Everybody's going. Everybody's building. So there's no reason to not have that. And that really is the only thing holding back more major conventions from Salt Lake is more very close downtown hotel rooms, full service hotel rooms.
The Salt Palace is big enough. We've got a great dining scene, a burgeoning nightlife scene, great bars and restaurants.
We're a right to work state.
Yeah. They like
costs
that.
Costs overall are lower.
Yeah.
People are friendly here.
Delta hub, close to the airport, tracks line to the airport.
Yeah.
Beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
Nice people.
As that development happens, the story will get more and more told and known because we're still a little bit unknown. We try very hard to tell who we are, but people...
Even with the Olympics.
That was a long time ago now.
It was. Our glory days. We still hearken back to those magical 17 days.
But we're ready to back up Shanghai or Beijing when they can't pull it together.
That might happen. That might happen. Any last words, Michael? What do you want the listeners of Downtown SLC to know about your role with the Convention Bureau?
Downtown listeners, just keep being friendly, helpful people, because really that's one of the top things we get recognized for in post-convention surveys is how nice people are here and how helpful they are. And, you know, we do have other issues in downtown that detract from that sometimes, and I'm referring to the professional...
Panhandlers.
I was going to say beggars, but panhandlers. But every major city has that. It's just, I think it's unexpected to be in Salt Lake, so people are a little more put off by it.
Yeah.
But just be supportive. I think it's people love to know, be recognized that they're here for XYZ convention.
Yeah.
And people downtown in the restaurants and hotels and stuff know who's here.
We do a good job of saying thank you for coming. Yeah. We appreciate your business.
But we publish that in the papers too. Yeah. And we put up banners and things like that. So
we send it out every week and let people know who's coming.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
You take credit for our work, don't you?
As much as we can. As often as we can.
That's okay. We share the glory.
That's right. We're a team.
That's right.
Team. Well, Michael, thanks for joining today. I think this is your second or third time coming on as a guest. Well, thank you for your participation.
I'm hoping next time I'll bring the boys from Polyester Blend. We'll play some music as well.
Next time. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m., where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.